So, Changing Soils, week two. Wasn't week one amazing? Andrew, thank you for laying such a great platform and foundation. Today is praying like a disciple maker. Who wants to pray like a disciple maker? Me too. Last week, there was obviously the parable of the four different soils, and Andrew unpacked that from Matthew 13, and discovering the four responses that people have when the seed lands on different soils. The first one is obviously the path, which is people who are not interested at all. Of course, then, in the rocks, too shallow, can't take root. The other one is in the thorns, caught up with the busyness of life and the worries of this world and the deception of wealth. And the fourth soil is, of course, the fruitful soil. I think it's pretty obvious which soil we would want to be. And it would be the soil that would produce 30, 60, and 100 times and be fruitful in our lives, primarily, and then in the lives of those around us. Can you identify your soil, perhaps? Maybe you go, oh, I feel like that seed lands on the path because I really don't pay enough interest. Or maybe the rocks, or maybe the thorns because I'm just too busy and it can't take root. So perhaps your heart is maybe the soil that you don't want it to be. Ephesians 5 verse 13 and 14 says, just 13 actually, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible and everything that is illuminated becomes light. Friends, the first step in any kind of life transformation is admitting that there is a problem. If I'm not the soil that I want to be, or I want God to be putting that seed onto, I need to acknowledge it and then make the changes. So we're not condemned, we say, right, Lord, we acknowledge and we make the change. Ephesians 5, verse 15 to 17 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Friends, what is the Lord's will? For us to be fruitful, that we would not be just fruitful for ourselves, but we would be fruitful for others, that they would be edified by us. Do you agree? Can I have a strong amen? Woo! Yes. Okay. So today we want to be fruitful in our prayer life. Last weekend I had the absolute privilege of sharing at City Hill in Totse. It was just under about 100 ladies at a women's event on Sunday afternoon. And the whole place was decorated with all this beautiful decor and lemons. I promise you now, they looked way more aesthetically pleasing than this grubby-looking one that came off the tree from our garden. But they were beautiful, and they were lush, and they were bright yellow. And through that, and I actually even shared that last Sunday afternoon, that the Lord wants us to be fruitful. Not sucking lemons, no ways. But fruitful. This is just an example. But fruitful to those around us. And then even during the week, I saw my toothpaste box. It's got lemons on it. Fruitful. The Lord has been speaking this word all week about being fruitful. Who doesn't want to be fruitful? On Saturday, I also had another opportunity at City Hill Om Kamaz. So we're right up and down the south coast. But in Om Kamaz, I met this lovely lady. And after the weekend, we were just messaging on Facebook Messenger, and she said this to me. She said, may you never miss an opportunity to be used by God. Let that sink in. I was chatting to someone the other day, and they said, oh, it just grieves me when I feel the Lord telling me to do something and I don't do it and I walk away and I spend the rest of the day thinking about what the outcome could have been if I had done what He was telling me to do in that moment. Friends, let us never be the ones that miss an opportunity to be fruitful and to edify others. James Clear says in a best-selling book called Atomic Habits, You should be far more concerned with your current trajectory than with your current results. Okay, you get that? The current trajectory of where you're heading rather than your current results. Then later on it says, he writes, when you fall in love with the process rather than the product, you don't have to wait to give yourself permission to be happy. Who doesn't enjoy chasing your tail and never really actually getting there and living in a state of dissatisfaction because you're chasing after something that you can't actually attain? You see, process gets us the progress. So we need to fall in love with the process and the journey and the trajectory. But you have to start the process first. So there's a difference between training and trying, okay? We're going to use Frank as an example because I don't think there's any Franks here. If there are, put your hand up now and we'll change the name. So Frank's never been to the gym before, okay? He decides that he's going to go. He decides that he wants to pick up a set of dumbbells and start training, okay? If he picks up a light one, that's going to be okay. When he starts doing some kind of repetition, it's going to start being a little bit challenging, bearing in mind that Frank's done no training up until this point, okay? If he were to go to the gym on his first day with his brand new gym contract and then take an even heavier weight, well, he's even just picking it up is going to be challenging. Repetition of a couple of sets is going to be almost impossible for him, okay? You agree with me? But if one were to, or let's say Frank, if Frank were to consistently push the lighter weights and gain momentum with that and process with that, he would then end up being able in further months to get the heavier weights and then attain that and maintain and sustain what he's doing and building his muscles. Friends, it's the very same thing with our prayer life. Okay, you know, in my very BC, well, I was backslidden, so it wasn't BC, but in my backslidden state, we always used to say, go hard or go home. When we used to start seeing someone flaking, we'd be like, go hard or go home. You know, that was how we kind of spoke when we were out being crazy and partying. I have the words, do it properly or don't do it at all. I think it sounds like my father's voice, and I think it was when I was cleaning out the rabbit cage or washing the car. Like, do it properly or don't do it at all. Hey, Dad. Yes, yes, it was you. But you see, the thing is sometimes we can have such an all or nothing mentality that we don't do anything. But we've got to start somewhere. We've got to start the process so that we can see the progress, okay, and get traction. So it's easy for Frank, after 2 weeks at the gym, been working out with this little set of pink weights, you know, to start now seeing a bit of gains. Like, he starts to see a little bit of improvement, all right? But he's going to have to enter into a lifestyle of consistently sustaining those gains. I see it with these teenage boys at our house with the bench press. They see the gains and they think that they've arrived. They've got their biceps popping and their pecs and everything, and they think that they are ripped. And then they just don't do anything for 2-3 weeks, and then they wonder where their gains have gone, because it's a consistent thing that we need to do. You see, if you think about it, in order to maintain those gains, there has to be a habit. So we know that there are good habits and there are bad habits. Going to gym is a good habit. But the first habit of an effective disciple maker is to have a vibrant prayer life. So whether you're a prayer warrior already or you struggle to keep your mind focused, God will meet you where you're at. You know, with all of these habits, we're going to celebrate the small steps, okay, of faith along the way until they become actually a part of how we naturally live. okay, where Frank is just like, I mean, he just bounces into the gym and he just picks up beat boy, get that perfect beat boy. Yeah, that's it. That's Frank's destiny. Okay. All right. So disciple making is a spiritual activity and the devil doesn't like it. But our greatest weapons are the Word of God and prayer. They really are, friends. So we're going to unpack today. We're going to have just some unpacking of some practical prayer habits. Those first steps of moving from the rocks of shallowness, okay, and the thorns of busyness into a place of fruitful soil that produces 30, 60, 100 times. Jesus loves us where we're at, but he loves us too much to leave us where we're at. He wants us to become effective disciple makers. I got no time to waste in this life. I wasted enough time while I was backslidden. I can't have any regrets, but I've got to do what I can do with the time I got now, with every moment I've got. So let's ask him. So Lord, we just want to ask you, even today, Father, won't you help us focus? Won't you just help us just remove any distractions, that we would hear your voice, that you would lead us, guide us, equip us through this, Lord God. You know, friends, that moving from the thorns to fruitful soil is the difference between life, spiritual life and death for us personally and for those around us. Doesn't that weigh down on you? It affects the spiritual atmosphere around us. Okay, so Lord, we surrender to you. Father, have your way. So, John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus speaking to his disciples. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown in the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Who wants complete joy? Without a doubt, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might, not you will, It's not a given, so that you might go and bear fruit. That's the desire. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. So, of course, let me drink the water and talk to the mic and not talk to the water and drink the mic. Okay, great. I saw that the other day with a preacher. He was like, oh, okay. I said, I see what's happening right there in your mind. Okay, so this is Jesus speaking to his disciples the night before he's about to get arrested and ultimately crucified. So you must know, if these are his last words, they are crucial. And there's one particular word on repeat. Can anyone shout that out? Did anyone notice that word keep being repeated? It was repeated 7 times, just for interest's sake. It was the word remain. Remain, okay? So what does it mean to remain in Jesus and for Jesus to remain in us? if he is the vine and we are the branches, what is the role of the branch? If you consider we've been now personified as a branch, if you've ever in your life been had an example of anything, picture yourself as a branch. There we go. Bing. With a lemon. Okay. What is the job of that branch? That's it. Go, Julie. Woo, you win the prize. But it is, it's to bear fruit. You cannot bear fruit independently of that tree, and you cannot independently produce fruit without that. So you can't do it on your own. You can't do it by yourself unless you're connected. You can remain or you can refrain, okay? You can choose, but God hasn't gone anywhere. If you refrain from remaining, God, the tree, the vine, has not moved. It would have been the branch that has segregated itself, okay? So it's a choice. We can choose. Are we going to stay and remain? You know, and also, God doesn't go anywhere. And it's not just about being connected to the head. It's also about being connected to the body. That's another place to remain, okay? So if one chooses to separate or segregate or pull away from community, of course they're going to feel an isolate because they're going to be missing out on the rubbing shoulders that just weekly happens week in and week out within community. See, because this is God's plan A. This is what that's why he calls it his bride and his body, and that's why it's so detrimental when people step away. And obviously they're going to feel isolated, okay? Then they're going to feel a distance, okay? And they're going to pull away. And I can promise you now, people wonder. I can promise you now, people wonder when someone isn't around, they think about that person and they go, I wonder where so-and-so is. And you know what? They have every intention of messaging them. But guess what? Life is busy. I mean, I sometimes have to even message my son's extra Afrikaans teacher, which is an important priority, and I don't get around to it, and I forget to do these things, or an important phone call to the bank, or an important thing. Not that that's not important, reaching out to someone, but life is busy. We're all over the show, but we're going to get some handles later on how to harness this. Also, you must understand that when a person pulls away, sometimes they feel something of rejection. And rejection, whether you like it or not, can have a projection. So sometimes people might be concerned to phone that person or contact or reach out to them because they don't know if that person might just barf out bitterness. Excuse my example. Okay. When you cut, what do you bleed? Do you bleed poison or do you bleed passion? Hey, thank you so much for contacting me. I had a tummy bug, and then because my immune system was low, I was hit with the flu. I haven't been to the meeting for 4 weeks, but thank you so much for contacting me. I so appreciate it, and I am feeling a lot stronger, and I'm going to be back next weekend. Beautiful. Bleeding passion, bleeding purpose. I'm involved, I'm plugged in, I'm moving forward. I'm about the king's business. Okay. Do you bleed victim or victory? No, I'm nothing special, but I've had enough rejection over the years to not let it affect me, okay? Does it hurt? Does it hurt? Of course it does. I'm not immune to it, but you know what? If I'm going to reach out and message someone and they're going to reject me, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to let it affect me because it's not about me. It's about them. They're more important than me, so I'll deal with whatever rejection I might be walking into, okay? Because I want to message that person because I want to put at least one brick towards the bridge of if they're feeling isolated, okay? All right? So I love WhatsApp. WhatsApp is the most God-given tool I have ever, it's brilliant. It's amazing. It's about connection, okay? Because you know that the devil loves to operate in division, all right? But I want to bridge the gap because of their destiny, okay? Jesus pursues the pain. Jesus died for those who rejected and crucified him. He died for us while we were still enemies of him. That's what it is. So I'm going to rather press in than avoid the person because I'm more concerned about them than I've been chosen. That's what John 15 says, that he chose me. I've been chosen by him and that's good enough for me. Okay. But what about them? I love to say to a person, if I send them a voice note and I haven't seen them for a while, you know what? I just want to let you know, you've been on my heart and mind. And if you've been on my heart and mind, it's because you're on his heart and mind. So, and maybe that's equipping you for someone that you haven't seen around for a while, for you to send them a message. And we'll unpack that just now too. All right. But in addition, we want to pray for that person. We want to pray that they get better and not bitter. Okay. So sometimes I've sent messages. I've not even got a reply, not even an emoji. That's okay. I know I've done my part. I've dispensed from my side. Okay. So prayer is going to be the habit that we're unpacking today. I've got three quick points and we're done. Process of prayer. J, Jesus. O, others. Y, yourself. Okay. So Jesus, to stay connected and remain, we need to do things which will expose ourselves to him and keep ourselves in contact with him. Spending significant time with him each day. Okay. In prayer. And that might sound overwhelming to you. You might say, I'm not even close to that. But friends, we're going to start somewhere. We're going to start somewhere. I can promise you now, it is going to be challenging, but it's going to be worth it, and it's attainable. Okay, like showing up at gym. Okay, so today, some simple tools to help us grow in our time with Jesus. I can promise you now, in the mornings, when I sit down with the Lord, you might have this exact same thing. My brain is like fireworks. It is like unharnessed helium balloons. I got thoughts all over the show. Where is the cat food cheaper? Did I phone the extra Afrikaans lesson teacher? Did I do this? Oh my goodness. Is petrol going up or down this week? You know, it's just like, gee, the back tire needs to be pumped. Where has that person been? Oh my gosh, I'm really worried about them. I must message them later. I think that person might need a meal. There's all sorts of stuff going on. So here's a if you're the same, I have a piece of paper next to me and I write those things down so they get out of the vortex of here and I close that loop so I can be focused. So I quickly write it down and I'll deal with it later when it's an appropriate and acceptable time for people to receive messages, because at that time it's usually not. Okay, so I'm sure they don't want to be woken up with a message from me. So we'll do that a little bit later in the day. So, but you've taken notes, okay. So remaining in him means being also filled with his word. That's why this, the Old Testament reading plan, I got it here in the front of my Bible. There it is there. So I take it out and I just tick off every day. I love ticking boxes, jumping through hoops, whatever I have to do. And it's such a beautiful, because why? Because it harnesses me to the word. I just love the fact we've been going through Judges. When we're reading this, I was Deborah. I was Gideon, and then I saw a serviette the other day that said, go ahead, from somewhere, I don't know where it was from, but it said, go ahead, and God had just said to Gideon, go. That was enough confirmation for me. Friends, he will speak to you through the word and reiterate and confirm throughout your day. Spending time in his word each day. And it might not be the morning for you. Every one of us is different. But we got to find what works so that we can work on something. So it might be different. It might look different for you. Maybe it's listening to worship songs in your car. Maybe it's printing out little prayer cards that you read over and over that are in significant places. Whatever it is. Okay. I can promise you now, this is the greatest distraction you will ever have. There are some mornings where I've turned off my alarms. I set about 12 alarms in the morning for myself. They're all on snooze. They all have different chimes. I don't want to miss my time with the Lord. There is no other time like that in the day. Okay, so, and I can go there and I can be turning off my alarms and then I suddenly see this notification. Oh my gosh, that person sent me a WhatsApp after I went to sleep. Ooh, and all of a sudden, more helium balloons than I actually, I just got to put that thing down. We cannot say that we are so busy if we are caught doom scrolling and just drinking and drinking and drinking this and not doing the things that we are needing to be doing. We cannot say that we're too busy, and we cannot be frazzled because of that. It's a distraction. We need to find that fine line. Sometimes I say to myself, Dawn, you don't need to look at those pictures of that friend who went to Mauritius right now. Do it when you've, this is, you're not going to get this time again. Do what you got to do in this time. And I love to have moments where I goof off and just scroll Facebook and look at hilarious reels and send my kids things that funny things that cats are doing. It's hilarious. Okay, But we need to look at the promises that God gives us from the scripture when we are connected to Him. We will bear much fruit. He will answer our prayers. Okay? Our heart starts to become His heart. And we start to pray the things that He desires for us and those around us. That He'll be glorified in us by our large amount of fruits. Do we want fruit or is it going to be fruit? That He will surround us with His love, a group hug. It's like Jesus and God gives us a group hug in that time. I can't tell you how many times in the morning I sit and I just weep. I just weep. My little cat comes in, my little Mia, she comes, she walks muddy paws sometimes on my Bible. I'm like, get off there. She sits on my lap. I have to sit in an awkward way so that her head doesn't hit the desk. And I just sit and I just weep. I've learned now I have to keep tissues close by because I don't want to disturb her, so I have to keep tissues. Why do I weep? Because I'm getting a group hug from God at the absurdity that He would want to use a wretch like me. I go between, vacillate between being humbled and completely honored that He would choose to partner with, and then humbled again, then honored again, then humbled again. It's just this beautiful, God, really, would You want to outwork Your will through me? Might say, Dawn, I cannot relate to what you're saying. I don't get it. Friends, this has been something that we've been doing for years, years. We had to get traction. It's for us. It's all. There's a well-worn path. And it's for you too. And it might start, it might be your first day. Is it day one or one day? Tomorrow's day one. You can do day one. Maybe you already have a beautiful opportunity where you let the Lord call you friend. Be reminded that He chose you, that you're completely filled with His joy. Point number two, J, Jesus, O, others. Praying for others. They need to know. Obviously, the connection cards, this is what it looks like. Of course, we can't distribute this to the whole community, but this is the pulse of the heartbeat of the community. It's beautiful. So here's the thing. Maybe you put down the word France. I heard this acronym. F-R-A-N-C-E. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, co-workers and classmates. E is for earlier in life. Maybe past friends, co-workers or childhood friends. And you make those lists. I wanted to climb up into the top cupboard and get my old Bible out, but I couldn't. But I used to have those kind of lists of different things. I never had this acronym of France. You see it up there? So it's helpful. Maybe it's a car guard, you know, that you see as an acquaintance and you want to be praying for him and his situation. So you can make those lists. I've heard of another one where you use your five fingers and the first you can say, this is for me, my spouse, number one. Three, my children. Four, my relatives. Five, my friends. So you can have all these little catchy things that you can do. If you want to pray for someone, where do you pray for them out of? Ephesians 1 is a beautiful example. I have not, verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, Johan, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that He may give you, Johan, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you, Johan, may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of Johan's heart would be enlightened in order that he may know the hope to which he's been called and the riches of the glorious of the inheritance of the holy people. And the incomparably great power that is within us that believe, the same power that was exerted in Jesus to come back to life. You want to find some more? Go look in Colossians. I don't have time to read there now. Colossians and Philippians. Prayer of Thanksgiving. It's under chapter 1. There are prayer points. Again, I wasn't going to climb. I couldn't get up to the top cupboard to get it out. But there are those prayers as points. Pray with others. Send them a WhatsApp. I have a friend who messages me sometimes and she's like, hey, today I'm praying for your daughter. Is there anything specific you'd like me to pray into? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that precious? Imagine doing that for somebody else. And they're messaging them the prayers that you've been praying for them. Isn't that phenomenal? Third point, why? Yourself. The Apostle Paul himself asked people to pray for him. Do you know what he asked them to pray for? For opportunities and open doors for his fruitfulness that he might be able to preach the gospel well. Friends, can I invite you to join me in standing? When we pray for ourselves, we want to be praying a certain couple of things. And that becomes a catalyst and causes us as a trajectory to end up praying for others. Listen to these points. Father, open my eyes to see the needs of others. I don't want to just be praying for my own security and health. I want to be praying above and beyond. Lord, help me see where you're already working. Help me see the harvest of whose hearts are open to you. Those hearts that are hurting. Help me cross paths with someone who needs you and is ready to listen to you. Father, give me boldness to imitate spiritual conversations. Guide me in the words that I say. So if that's you and you want to have a vibrant prayer life, as a disciple maker, if that's you, I want to invite you to join me. My hand is up, and I'd love to just pray for you. So, Father, won't you see these hands of faith, Lord God. We want to be a vibrant prayer warrior for you that becomes in us something that makes us a vibrant disciple maker. Lord God, we want to partner with you. We want to partner with heaven to outwork and outwalk everything that you have for us and those who are around us. Father, we honor you and we bless you. We give you the glory to your name. And again, we want to say we are completely and utterly honored that you would choose to partner with us, and completely and utterly humbled. We praise your name and give you the glory. Amen. Amen.